Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
El Salvador has become the first nation to require businesses, when possible, to accept Bitcoin from paying customers. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In the same way shops across El Salvador accept the U.S. dollar as a form of payment, they'll now accept the digital currency Bitcoin. That's according to a new law which came into effect at midnight. The country's president, Nayib Bukele, said the move will make it easier and cheaper for people working abroad to send money back home.
Millions who send and receive remittances know that commissions and high costs have to be paid to send them. This will benefit those who send remittances as well as those who receive them. Millions of people will benefit from not paying these prices and commissions, but also because they will receive them immediately without any minimum.
Well, the World Bank and the IMF have already expressed their doubts about this move, and not all residents are sold on the new law, as the BBC's Sergei Furcato reports.
More than 200 new cash machines have been installed across the country to exchange the cryptocurrency for dollars and withdraw cash. The government is offering $30 in free Bitcoin to encourage citizens to use its national wallet, which is called Chivo, a local word for something good or nice. But El Salvador's president, Nayib Bukele, is having a tough time persuading people that making Bitcoin legal tender is a good idea.
No on Bitcoin!
General enthusiasm is low, with polls suggesting a majority of Salvadorians disagree with the move. Critics of the plan argue that using Bitcoin is risky, given the cryptocurrency's volatility and because it could be used to launder money.
People don't want it. That coin is unstable. There is no price fixing.
Our elderly people find it very difficult to use the technology needed for this virtual coin.
I don't like it. I like going to the shops and using banknotes.
The government sees Bitcoin adoption as a way to facilitate money transfers from Salvadorians living abroad. More than 2 million Salvadorian workers in other countries send money to their families back home, and remittances make up around 20% of the country's economy.
That's the BBC's Sergei Furcato reporting there. Checking the numbers now, the price of Bitcoin is little changed this morning. It's trading around $51,000. Global stock markets, meanwhile, are mixed. Asian benchmarks ended their session up in the 1% range. Data today showed China export growth jumped last month. Here in Europe, though, the major averages across London, Paris, and Frankfurt are tilting down about 0.2%. The global semiconductor shortage has taken a heavy toll on the world's car makers, and though demand for new cars is high, supply issues have forced factories to slow or stop production. That's a major topic of conversation today at the International Mobility Show in Munich. Daimler's chairman, Ola Källenius, told the BBC how the latest kink in his company's supply chain will affect the next few years' output.
When the fourth wave of COVID hit, in this case Malaysia, and some of the factories that supplied to us were affected, and health authorities made those decisions, you have to deal with a level of uncertainty. This will bleed into 2022 from a structural point of view, and then gradually get better.
Well, part of the problem is that as manufacturers add more electronic features to their cars, they need more computer chips to do it. To help alleviate the supply shortages, Bosch, one of the world's biggest parts and system suppliers, is adding more manufacturing capacity. Here's one of its board members, Harold Kroger.
The fact that we have this factory just opened this summer means that already 3 years ago, Bosch analyzed the situation and came to the conclusion we need more semiconductors. So we are right now in the process of ramping it up. I think this is a very active part of helping this shortage of semiconductors. But overall, Dresden is not right now in full ramp-up phase, so we don't have the big volume coming out of the plant yet.
That's Harold Kroger from Bosch speaking to the BBC there in Munich. Well, supply chain issues, clearly a big topic of conversation for car makers. It's also a big topic for investors, keeping close tabs on developments in the West African nation of Guinea. Over the weekend, a military coup sparked fresh concerns about global supply chains reliant on the nation, which is one of the world's biggest producers of bauxite. That's a raw material used to make aluminum. And that has caused aluminum prices to surge to their highest level in a decade. Caroline Bain, chief commodities economist at Capital Economics, told me more.
On top of all the other supply concerns that have been surrounding aluminium, this is almost like the final straw, the risk that there's going to be a lack of raw material.
And while what's happening in Guinea has provided the latest catalyst for prices, they have been on the rise for a large part of this year, haven't they?
They have. Well, all of the base metals did very well in the first half of this year because of the economic recovery in China. But more recently, China's economy has slowed and most other metals prices have fallen. But aluminium has stayed strong and actually risen. And that's because there are concerns about supply from China.
And how concerned should we be about some of those supply issues?
I actually think the concerns are a bit overdone. The latest rise in the aluminium price has been because of power rationing in a couple of Chinese provinces, which has meant that aluminium supply has been curbed. But they are actually very small producers of aluminium. And the bigger picture is that aluminium production in China is still rising, despite these well-publicized sort of closures. So I think potentially a lot of risk is being priced into the aluminium market at the moment, and it might not be realized. I don't think the shortage is going to be realized in the way that the market seems to think.
And as you say, China produces more than half of the world's aluminum, but you don't see that being a longer term issue for overall production.
The government's stance on aluminium hasn't really been as tough as it has been on steel, for example. It's definitely the case that the government is trying to reduce emissions from steel. They haven't actually had announced policies on aluminium. The reason aluminium supply is down a bit in some provinces is because of drought conditions. And it's being fueled by hydropower, so power is being rationed. I think there's a recognition that aluminium is going to be useful for really quite a while, given that it's an essential part of the green economy. Again, that's another reason why I'm not too worried about supply.
Caroline Bain, chief commodities economist at Capital Economics. Thanks for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.